Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us at Bush Lake at West Tonka, as well as those that are here gathered. It's so good to be back with you again in worship. I don't take for granted the extended time that I get over the summer to go and study and also be renewed. It's really helpful. In fact, I completed the 2015 teaching calendar, which goes from January through December 2025, not 2015, 2025. You got to put your rear back into the saddle when you're heading back in and be patient with me today. And that may happen more than once, but I've got it done. So I'm just going to tell you, I've been thinking about January. I'm excited about January. And I think I may be the only person here at West Tonka or Bush Lake that's excited about January, but I'm excited. It's going to be a fun, fun year for us. During the time, every year that I go on my study break, I also have a dedicated time. It's a few days alone at a little cabin for spiritual refreshment and renewal, and I renew my covenant with God to love him and to serve him. You know, having that on my calendar each year is just a really good rhythm, and I encourage you to do the same. Renew your covenant to love God and to serve his purposes. And I've come back refreshed and renewed with a little time away with Carrie, but I came back into the office and learned about 200 kids, teenagers, who had just returned from camp this last week, and that they were awakened in faith. That just really encouraged my heart to be awakened as I step back in as well. But I was with you all summer long. Oh, thank you very much. And for our kids, just best wishes to all of you students who went through that camp experience. But I was with you online, worshiping online, wherever I was on a given Sunday. It was terrific to be with you. And I was enriched through my online experiences with the teachings that Pastor Clint and Ben Griffin and Sammy Wagnoni last week brought during the series. So would you just join me in giving thanks to them, honoring them for their excellent preparation and teaching. So good. The series of benefiting from that one anothering experience is continuing today, and even next week we'll wrap it up. But in a summary of where we've been, the call has been from the beginning, it opened up with serve one another, spur on one another, encourage one another, love one another, sing with one another. That was a little unconventional message. Pastor Clint brought that. There was a moment, it was a communion Sunday, and right before communion, he said something that just stayed with me all week. He said, "Did you know that God sings over you?" And he called out from scriptures that God is mighty to save, Zephaniah. That he takes great delight in you, that he quiets you with his love, that God rejoices as he sings over you. I go, I don't think I've ever sat in that place. All week long, I kept thinking, God is singing over me? Why would he do that? What a gift it is. Find encouragement. I was enriched in the whole series, and then last week, moved by the numbers of people who came down to receive prayer, as Sammy Wagnoni led us last week. Well, I continue the series with a new initiative, a new command, honor one another. And I'm going to give my attention to that. It's tethered to this powerful little verse in Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. That little caveat at the end is really important to the experience of what it means to love one another. And we're going to get there in a few moments. But can I just take you back a few years to the very beginning of Westwood's journey in 1995? We hadn't even launched yet. And I had been working diligently, praying earnestly. God, why do we exist as a church? Why are we starting this church? And if you've started a company, you know that a purpose statement brings clarity to what you're going to do and the decisions that you're going to make. And I was wrestling through the purpose statement of Westwood, its very first derivative. And I finally landed it, and it came out like this. And it's still in fashion, similar to what was first written, but just a little longer in 1995. That we exist to honor God by enjoying him through reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ. And it comes from the Abrahamic covenant. We exist to honor God by enjoying him. It's the top line blessing. When God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you, he intended that Abraham would enjoy God. I hope you enjoyed your experience with God, walking with God, worshiping God, through reaching people with the love of Christ. It's one promise, two expressions, that we are blessed to be a blessing. It comes from that Abrahamic covenant, but it starts this way. We exist to honor God. And for many months following the launch of Westwood, I wrestled over the number of words we had in it. I just wanted it to be so simple that our purpose statement, why not just make it, "We exist to honor God!" exclamation mark. Because when we honor God, we honor what God honors. But the reality in our life and our brokenness is we don't always honor God. And we don't always honor what God honors. So therefore, sometimes we just need more words to put legs to the definition of our very purpose statement. But my heart still resonates with that. If we could just be a people, and a day will come where our purpose in life will simply be to honor God. That is our call. And what a difference it makes in our journey. So what is this word honor mean throughout the scriptures? We find that there are different shades of meaning. Quite simply, it means to prize or to treasure. It means to value, to esteem, to revere. It has this idea, it carries the idea of to respect or to value highly. And what does it mean to dishonor? Well, you could take the same definition and say it means to not prize or treasure, or to have little value for, or little esteem for, or little respect for. And both are operative in our lives. And so when you find yourself actually in a place where honor is taking place, you feel it. You feel it, don't you? If somebody's honoring you, you feel it. In fact, you find that honor has many benefits. And one of those benefits is that it lifts you up. You feel lifted up when there's honor in the room. In fact, we find that goodness rises when there's honor. Goodness rises in the person receiving it, but even in the people who are gathered around it. A room, an environment gets lifted when honor is in a given place. I recall specifically in an outdoor experience, I had this moment. I had the privilege to officiate my uncle's funeral. He was a brigadier general. And, you know, when you're a brigadier general, you get extra personnel that come from Washington, D.C. to honor your service to the country. It's always filled with honor when I do a military service, but it was like extra dose that came on that given experience. And they played those taps. Oh, man, I'm telling you, there were goosebumps everywhere. And then they go to their rifles and they do that 21-gun salute. Oh. And then they take that flag and in slow motion, they fold that flag and offer it to his wife, my aunt. I'm telling you, there wasn't a dry eye in the place because honor lifts. Goodness rises when honor takes place. But when dishonor happens, goodness falls. And you feel diminished, invalidated. Have you ever felt that way? Have you felt so dishonored by someone? It feels like the legs got kicked underneath you. You wonder if you can even get up again. It can be devastating, in fact. Have you tuned into the Olympics at all? And man, what powerful moments there were here. But Jordan Chiles, the gymnast from America, who won the bronze medal, was overtaken with joy, almost like complete surprise that she won. I mean, there was a contagion in that given auditorium where they were meeting, not just for her, but for everybody there gathered. It was a lift that took place, a goodness that rose. And to see her on that platform and the other two gymnasts are on knee and they're like bowing to her, worshiping, acknowledging the beautiful gift of surprise that was. And then she comes home and the medal is stripped away. On an administrative technicality, and goodness falls. Goodness falls. So we're called to honor one another. And so you have to ask the question, what has happened to honor? And I know that there's some sentiment today that almost takes the word honor and thinks it's old-fashioned, that it's no longer operative. It's like it's slipping away ever so gradually in our culture, in our relationships. We find this drifting that's taking place with this word honor. And quite honestly, it's increasingly challenging for a person to be a Christ follower in a left and right world. That we have come to this point where we become so polarized and so divided that it challenges us to be followers of Christ because we feel like we have to take one side or another side. And unfortunately, our behavior, I think we cancel each other more depending on what side of that equation you're on more than we do honor one another. But that's not an option for us. We, as the people of God, are called to honor. You can have your convictions, but don't cancel each other. We're the people of God. Let's be united as the people of God and bring honor to God and honor to one another. So really, my message is, this is my message for us as we come toward the fall is, let's bring honor back. And can I even get clearer about it? Would you join me in bringing honor back? That deserves at least a little amen. If you are supportive of that proposition, will you join me in bringing honor back? Yeah, let's do this. We can do this together, and there's great healing when we choose to do that. In fact, I just want to invite us to move to this place of honor. And it's really prominent in the scriptures. And when you read about it, you find when you come across the word honor, it's not passive. It's not casual. In fact, it is clear. It's compelling. It's commanding. We are commanded to do the bidding of God in this realm of honoring. And when you read the scriptures, you find that it's multifaceted, that our bidding is related to our behavior choices, that we are called to honor sexual intimacy, that we are called to honor speech, that we use words that will either build each other up or tear each other down. And we're called to use honorable speech that brings lift, where goodness rises in our occasion. And we also find that in the scriptures, the institutions get honored. Marriage is honored. Honor marriage, we are told in the scriptures. Well, that's had some drift in our time, no doubt about it. But what a neat thing when it happens. Carrie and I've been back since Monday into the office. And on Thursday, I had the opportunity to speak at an event. Over the course of the afternoon, we were at a table. Carrie and I were at a table with a couple of other couples. One was from East India, and we got talking about marriages. And this couple's marriage was arranged, which created, did you hear that thump? That was an exclamation mark. It's like it was arranged. You go, what? An arranged marriage? Yeah. It created such fascinating conversation. They've been married 20 years and how they honor each other in that. The other couple had been married for 53 years that we sat with. Boy, did we have fun conversation about honoring marriage and what it's meant for them. In the storytelling, that many of you know part of my story, my father was a restaurateur. He had many restaurants in the Twin Cities. The oldest Mexican restaurant is Little Tijuana's. I just spoke about it not too long ago. This couple, married 53 years, tells me that your dad opened Little Tijuana's? He goes, yeah. He said, our first date in 1969 was at Little Tijuana's. At this table. Now, is that a God thing or not? I mean, you go, you're kidding me. Romance over Mexican food. I love it. And it worked out well for them. 53 years. And then he told me on their 10th anniversary, he went back to Little T's and he got a menu and framed it. And it's in their home on a wall. Now, I think it's a really odd romantic gesture personally, but a menu. But God is a table God. He does great things around the table and food. He deepens romance. But how cool is that? I go, I don't even have a menu of my father's. Can I have yours? No, he said, because it means something to them. But he said, I'll take a picture. And I haven't received it yet, but I'm going to be calling him. And ask for it. But we're called to honor even institutions like marriage. And believe it or not, we're called to honor a day, a Sabbath day. When you live in the rhythm of the 7-day week, is there a day set aside for you to honor God and to renew your soul? If every day just becomes an everyday experience for you, you will miss the beauty and the power of what it means to honor. We are called to honor a day, to remember to honor God and to remember who we are in his presence. And yet when you read the scriptures, most of the commands related to honor relate to people, specific groups of people, in fact. And so you find in that journey is a call for us to honor parents, honor your mother and father, and you will live long in the land that I give to you. So there's a benefit in honoring mom and dad related to your life and how you live. And then you're called to honor elderly folks. Carrie's dad has just been moved into more of an assisted living situation. And for me to watch how that family is honoring him, it just lifts my soul. We're called to honor. In a culture where we honor young people, we give energy and attention. Oh, it's so great to be young. And maybe it's because I'm growing to be a little bit more elderly. I think it's a really cool command. Honor the elderly. Those on their way and those who are. So, and then we're called to enter into a place to honor church leaders, those who serve. And then to honor those in authority over us. Oh, this gets hard. We're not real good at honoring those in authority over us. Specifically, governing authorities, we're told in Romans. And then Timothy calls us. He says, honor the emperor. And I go, are you kidding? You do the research of what was happening at the time he said that. Christians were being persecuted by the Roman Empire and the emperor. Honor the emperor? So clearly, this is tethered not to your feelings, but to something greater, because sometimes you don't feel like honoring people whom you don't think are worthy or deserving of the honor, but it's not based on your feelings. It's based on who God is, that we are called to honor God. And when we honor other people, somehow in the mystery of God's economy, we are honoring him. We are esteeming him. So people, and some who know they are not worthy of any honor that you would give to them, go like, why would you honor me? It captures their attention to the mystery of a God who does something in us that we in and of ourselves don't have the strength to do. We need his power to honor the way he's commanded us to honor. And he gives us that picture. And so we find that God fashioned human beings to be in this given place, that we would esteem him and do so by esteeming each other, treasuring people, prizing them, the dignity of humanity. In fact, Romans 12, come back to it again. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself. That little Greek phrase can be translated a lot of different ways. One of them that compelled me was outdo one another in how you honor each other. Not outdo one another in a competitive sense, because we get so competitive. No, it's outdo one another in an unexpected sense. That honor one another in an unexpected way. I didn't see that coming. And all of a sudden it brings a lift. Goodness rises. And you find that there's this powerful thing that happens as you come together, honoring people above yourself. I just experienced it recently, like Friday. And a week ago Saturday, because I had the opportunity to officiate the memorial service of a dear friend of Carrie's and mine who had recently passed away the last several weeks. And I made it a priority to go visit and be with them in Colorado. I got the opportunity to officiate the service there and here in Minneapolis. They moved to Colorado 2.5 years ago, but they're still longtime beautiful friends. Janice is the one who passed away, prayer partner with Carrie. And I think about her life. And I chose this verse to be the verse in the service. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, because that's who she was. And that's what she did. And it became the integrative motif of everybody who spoke on that given day. You know how I say around Westwood, if you've been here, there are two kinds of people. Here I am kind of people, and there you are kind of people. Some people walk into the room and go, here I am, love me. And some people walk into the room, oh, there you are. And they approach you and they connect with you and they ask questions of you. She was a there you are kind of person. She honored people. She outdid honoring in so many different special ways. And the service reflected it. It was one of the most unique memorial services I've ever participated in because of the unique things they had in it. Like it started at 11:11 a.m. I have never been in a service that started at 11:11 a.m. Why would you start at 11:11 a.m.? Because when her three children were younger, one of her boys said to her, it's 11:11, it's time to make a wish. You've heard of this make a wish at 11:11? Well, she said, let's do something different. How about if I pray for you? And from that point on, she prayed for all of her children at 11:11. Now there's a parenting tip for you. Set your clocks, 11:11. Honor your children, pray for them. And then they did something really unique, which I doubt I'll ever see again in my life. They howled. howled. Oh, kind of, that kind of howl. I go like, why would they do that? When they moved to Colorado, it was COVID. and they couldn't be in each other's homes. So at 8 p.m., they came out into the driveway, and all the neighbors stood in the driveway, and they all howled. And he had a video of them doing it. I got goosebumps. It was so moving, echoing through the mountains. And a couple of months ago, she was bedridden. She couldn't get out of bed, and she goes, I miss the howls. I mean, they hadn't been doing it for a long time because COVID is over with. So Mike took that as a cue, and he talked to some of the neighbors, and they all went out at 8 p.m. He opened up the windows, and they howled. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it moves me. The fact that you would go above and beyond, and she just smiled in that bed and received the encouragement, the affirmation of her neighbors. What a powerful. And then it made it more unique. Don't you wish you were at this service? It was amazing. Everybody wore purple, including me. I had a purple shirt. I did not have a suit. I have never officiated a memorial service without a tie or suit or sport coat, at least. And it was just kind of different. Everybody, it was a wave of purple everywhere. Can I just tell you, I love our funeral team here at Westwood. They honor above themselves over and over again. If you die, you want to die here. It's a great funeral team. It really is amazing. One of the volunteers on the funeral team took it upon herself to go to Amazon and order purple aprons for everybody who served. Now, that's outdoing one another. That's so thoughtful. Can I tell you how that blessed that family? It was a beautiful thing to see. And so you get the idea here of what one anothering is all about holding this high honor, that it lifts people. Goodness rises. The bond of oneness is strengthened when honor is in the room, not just between you and the other person, but even in the room. Even this morning, I have just felt the rising goodness and the bond of oneness we share together in Christ Jesus because we have come to worship him and honor him. And it's such a beautiful gift to see that and to be that for each other. So I just say to us today, outdo one another, each other with one anothering by going above and beyond, doing the extra little things along the way. Let me speak specifically. If you're an athlete, honor your coach. Be a there you are kind of athlete, not here I am, put me into the game all the time. There you are, coach. Thanks for investing your time into me. Or if you're a student, which some of you will be walking into that very quickly here, honor your teachers. Don't be a here I am kind of student. Just look at me. I'm an honor A person. No, honor your teacher. Be thankful for them. If you are an employee, honor your boss. Don't just think about, well, what about me and all of my benefits and all of that? No, be a there you are kind of employee that honors your boss. And you're saying right now in your head, oh, you don't know my boss, Joel. No, I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about what is right and good and noble and pure that's given to us by God himself, that we would enter in this place of honoring even our employers. But can I say to those who are bosses and employers, honor your employees. It's mutual. It brings lift. Goodness rises. The bond of affection and clarity of thought about what you do and work together matters, and it's enriched in that. In fact, the Bible commands Christians to honor everyone in 1 Peter 2:17. All human beings, we are told, are made in God's image, and they are worthy of dignity and honor. Listen to what the psalmist says. This is a Psalm 8:5. God has crowned humanity with glory and honor. Can I just say the obvious? I know we don't feel like it all the time. And I get that. And whether they deserve it or not, and I'll just say sometimes they don't and won't. Give it freely. Because of who God is, not because of who they are. And because of who you are in Christ, you offer that up. In fact, I'd like to put it this way. Treat honor like it is the most renewable resource on the planet. And you know what would happen if we did? Flourishing would happen in relationships and communities. Healing would happen everywhere. Treat it like the most renewable resource on the planet. So to honor one another, we must first honor God. And there's no way we can honor each other the way the Bible commands us without God infusing it in us. We need his help to do it. But when it happens, it changes the world in which we live, and it's important. I think one of the reasons that we are becoming known as a country, and I have the privilege to travel around the world, and I don't remember this except for the last 10 years, that we are increasingly known as a people who dishonor each other and not honor each other. The conversations I have with natives in other countries, I don't remember that in the earlier years of my travel at all. I was always welcomed. Well, they want to talk, like, what's happening to America right now? And I go, yeah, it's fascinating. But why is that happening? I think part of it is that God has become so common to us. He's so familiar to us. We refer to him as the big guy upstairs, or the guy, or whatever. We become so informal about it. We use the name Jesus Christ more in profanity than we do in honoring ways, more in dishonoring ways. And I always think, well, why is that? Why do we say JC when we're upset about something? Why don't we say, oh, Buddha, or something like that? Well, it's JC. Why is that? Well, it's not because of what's happened the last few years alone. This has a long tail. It goes back several decades. You remember Ted Turner, that name? Ted Turner, who founded CNN? In 1990, he came out with this declaration, and it shows what was happening then and how it's grown. We're living with outdated rules. The rules we're living with under are the Ten Commandments. And I bet nobody here even pays much attention to them because they're too old. And when Moses went up on the mountain, there were no nuclear weapons. There was no poverty. Today, the Ten Commandments wouldn't go over. Nobody around likes to be commanded. Commandments are out. Oh, you can just see how our culture just slowly spirals in this direction. But honor is the undercurrent of all of the Ten Commandments. Honor is the undercurrent of who God is and who he wants us to become. And you imagine if we could really honor one another the way the scriptures call us, invite us, command us to do it, wow, would we be a different people? We would not need armies or police. Can you imagine how many taxes you would save in the course of a year? We would not, if we had honoring taking place, we would have relationships, we would have friendships, we would have families and marriages that would be healthier and stronger if honoring was the undercurrent of it everywhere from beginning to end. If we had honoring as the undercurrent of the way we lived, truth would be valued. It'd be clarified. It wouldn't be so much confusion or there's no truth or my truth is the only truth. No, that wouldn't be the reality, but this is where we find ourselves. We could walk outside at night and not feel concerned. We would feel safe if honoring. Everything would be better. We would be flourishing, not languishing in our journey. And it's because of Christ that hope is there for us, because God is not common. Jesus is not common. Jesus Christ is the soon to return ruler, reigning King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who went to the cross to die for you so you would understand what it means to honor him and honor each other. We're called to honor each other, friends. And it flows from God to us to be received by him. So let's honor him. Let's esteem him and cherish him and prize him and respect him as the psalmist so beautifully says it. In Psalm 29, all angels shout encore in awe before the glory, in awe before God's visible power. Stand at attention, dress your best to honor him. That's our call. And then we'll have a capacity to honor one another. Back to our verse. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's the invitation. And when that happens, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful gift to see that happen. We do indeed need a honor infusion, wouldn't you agree? You've heard of blood infusions. You know, you get a blood infusion, it renews your red blood cells. And what does it do? It heals. It takes you from lethargy to energy. It gives you strength that you didn't have before. We need this honor infusion. We truly do. And when it happens, can I just tell you, it feels good. It feels really good. When I came into the office on Tuesday morning, before I, you know, just coming back in, I just turned on the lights, and one of my colleagues on staff here stopped by and said, Joel, it is so good to see you. Welcome back. We've missed you. I have a little gift for you. Well, that's unexpected. A gift? What do you mean? He goes back to his office. He comes back with two items in his hand. And he, first of all, he says, I just want to affirm you. When you tell stories about your own faith journey, it grows my faith. That was honoring. It felt good to hear that. It brought lift. It motivated me to say, okay, I'll do this job for another week, another year, another. And for you too, when you're lifted up, you go, I can do my work. Even if your work is hard work, it gives clarity and motivation for you to do it. And he gave me the first gift. I opened it up and he says, it's just little gifts. And I go, oh, the first gift is a football card of Fred Cox. Because I was 14 years of age when I heard Fred Cox give the gospel presentation and the first time I understood that you could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Fred Cox was the beginning of my journey. Or he gave me, this was wild, a pen from B. Dalton Bookstore. They don't even exist any longer. How do you find a pen from B. Dalton Bookstore? On Amazon. And he said, when you told the story of being at B. Dalton Bookstore and you lost your son and you weren't sure you would find him, and that when you finally found him, you knew in your mind that you would do anything to find your son, that our call as Christ believers is to find lost people. So I love lost people. He said, now I've got a pen from B. Dalton Bookstore to remind me of a little gift, but such profound lift in the journey. So here's the invitation that I want to give to you. Summer is wrapping up. The Olympics are over. And the sweet Martha cookies you're going to eat this week at the State Fair are almost gone. And then the doors open to election season. And the gravitational pull for you and for our culture is toward dishonor, not honor. Hold your convictions. Politically, fine, but hold your convictions. I am a Christ follower. My identity is in the kingdom of God and with the King of Kings. And honor. I'm all for healthy debate. Don't misunderstand me. I think it's helpful, but how we do it truly does matter. We are HPs, honor people. Let's honor people well. And so we're going to do that. In the course of the fall, coming through the election, every week we're going to identify, as the scriptures do, a group of people, and we're going to honor you, to remind you to honor God and to honor each other. Next week, we're going to honor educators. So if you know a teacher or somebody involved, because you're getting ready for a big deal, maybe you know some people to come. They will be blessed as we honor them. But today, I want to honor care providers. You have been amazing these last several years. If you are in the business of diagnosing or treating or caring from people, if you're a nurse, a physician, a PA, if you're a veterinarian, if you take care of those who are disabled, if you're caring for your mom or dad who are in that aged place where they just need a lot of help or assistance, if you're a professional or ongoing care provider, we as a church want to honor you in community. So I know you're hesitant at Bush Lake, at West Tonka, wherever you are online, here in this room. If that be you, would you stand, please, and in humility, let us just honor you. Please stand where you are if that be your field of service and how you've given yourself. Thank you. I'm going to have you stay standing. Nobody wants to stay standing because you think everybody's looking at you, and we are. Please stay standing. Because part of honoring is to receive it. You receive it in humility. And we want to give it to you because it honors God. And over the last few years, you have done so much for us. Thank you for caring. And what I'd like to do, I wrote a prayer here that we're all going to recite. I'm not going to recite it over you because as a community, we are going to honor one another. Can I invite you to stand? And in one voice, would you pray this blessing over all these care providers? Thank them when we're done with the service as well. And join me in this prayer blessing. Lord, bless the lives that have entered into the suffering of one another. Bless the arms that have embraced the sick with compassion. Bless the hands that have comforted the dying and held the dead. Bless the caregivers to whom we commend all of the sick the suffering, and the aged. Give strength and courage to our caregivers to be instruments of your everlasting love for all those who need your protection. We ask this in the name of Christ the Healer, your Son, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Could I invite you just to be seated one moment before we go? Thank you, care providers. We are grateful, we love you, we appreciate you. We honor you this day. This afternoon, we're going to Lake Ann, not Excelsior Comet, to experience baptism. As a Christ follower, one of the most honoring things you can do in your life is to be baptized when you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, a reminder that you are dead to sin and you're alive in Christ. So if you have yet to be baptized as a Christ follower, either connect with a pastor at each of our sites after the service or come at 2:30 and we'll greet you and meet you there. Honor God and be baptized. And join me in this prayer. Father God, thank you for the gift of life, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that comes as an expression of your desire that we would know you and honor you and that we would honor one another and restore and bring healing into this broken world. Mark us as your people. Mark us as your church, as a God-honoring church. And might you receive glory, honor, and praise today and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.